Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
And here we are once again in Los Angeles at LA Talk Radio. This is the Writer's Block. I am your host, Jim Christina, back from the dead in my little secret hideaway studio somewhere between the Rocky Mountains and the Sawtooth Mountains in good old downtown Idaho. And I'm on the phone here with my wonderful, congenial, chuckly co-host drinking... I saw Bucks, stars, Starbucks, some kind of Starbucks.
Yeah. Oh. An indulgence.
Hi, Bobby.
Hi, Jim. How nice to be sharing the airwaves again with you tonight.
It's always nice to be somewhere and always fun to be with you. How's that?
Oh, thank you so much.
Does that rise to my whispering comment of a while back?
Yes. What about your whispering comment?
That's right. I called Nancy a whispering, whatever it was.
Our guest tonight.
Almost like my comment about her putting a finger on the dike, which was actually meant to mean her children. But
you're so funny.
We'll get around to that.
Yes.
Here I am. I did my last antibiotic today.
Oh.
Oh my God. And I did a cardiac ultrasound. And tomorrow I have a pulmonary appointment, and then I'm done for about 2 weeks.
Yay. That's awesome.
Break, finally.
That's awesome.
This has been like...
I know.
I was telling Nancy the other night, with all these doctors, I don't even get a chance to open a cover on a book very much anymore. And I always have to apologize beforehand. So I already did, Nancy, if you're there. I know you're there listening, but don't say anything yet. But I know you understand. So, but anyway, but right now, this morning I got up, it was like 34 degrees outside.
Was it really? We haven't had it. Well, I haven't gotten up early enough for it to be that cold, but I think we do have cold nights. And this is the time of year here in Albuquerque where we get that special air situation for balloons, hot air balloons. Of course, it was our big fiesta was canceled last week, but we are seeing balloons. They are still flying because this is the time that the box, whatever the proper term is.
Well, they get the updrafts from the
desert.
So it catches the balloons and it just gets them up there, way up there.
Yeah, it's so still very exciting. We still don't expect to see balloons, and we throw our brakes on when you see a balloon straight ahead of you, and it's like Nancy with grizzly bears, our guest tonight, yeah. The grizzly bears in her yard. Well, with us, it's balloons.
I have to tell you, I was watching the news tonight, and they were talking. One of the last pieces on the news, Shepard Smith has a new show on CNN. And it's really a really good, I mean, it's a solid news show, which I would rather have that than fluff pieces.
Uh-huh.
But he was talking about some Chinese pilot landing in Los Angeles. And he was calling the air traffic controller from 6,000 feet. And he says, well, I just saw something next to our airplane. And the controller says, what was it? And he goes, well, I don't know. And she said, well, was it so-and-so? And he goes, no. She goes, was it a jet pack? And he goes, yeah, with a guy in it. like some jabroni is flying a jet pack next to an airliner at 6,000 feet over LAX.
Oh my gosh.
I thought, holy God, how funny. And this is not the first time they've seen it. This is like the second time they've seen this guy.
Wow.
So I mean, Can you imagine 6,000 feet in a jetpack?
There's a story in there somewhere. Yeah.
Someplace. And we will find it because hopefully he'll write a book and he'll be on the show.
Oh, very funny.
Tonight we have a returning author. She was such a delight the last time she was on. And tonight we actually may be able to even hear her. She's from the East Coast. Her first book was such a smash, she felt the need to write another one. And then she felt the need to write the third one. So Nancy Quinn is the lady's name. She is just a tremendous writer. She's a mother, and they live on a mountaintop in Montana, someplace up in the mountains. They have neighbors as grizzly bears and mountain lions and horses and foxes and all kinds of stuff. Her latest book is called Still Out West of Nowhere, which is kind of an adapt title for, you know, when you're in Montana up at the top of a mountain someplace. So without any further ado, what do you say, Bobby? We got bring on Nancy and let her tell her story.
Welcome, Nancy.
Welcome to the Writer's Block, Nancy Quinn. I can't believe you actually had the nerve to come back on the show again. It's just like, we get return people all the time, but it's like some people we want back and we can't ever get. And yet here you are.
Yeah. Well, thank you. With an introduction like that, I can't wait to play that for my horses tomorrow. They're going to be really excited to hear it.
You have to shoo them off the front porch first.
That's right. That's right. They keep peeking in the windows because they want to know what I'm saying about them.
Exactly.
It is wonderful for me to be back with both of you. I had such a great time last time. So thanks for having me back again.
Actually, you're very welcome. And, you know, you were always on the return list. And I just want to make one thing really, really clear is that not only are you a writer, a mom and a wife and a rancher and a mountain man, essentially, but you are also an artist, a wildlife artist, and you have got some absolutely phenomenal paintings and drawings. And let's start out right there. You can go to your website, which is nancyquinn.com. Is that correct?
Actually, it's
quinnwildlifeart.com. Okay, yeah. quinnwildlifeart.com. And she has got some gorgeous, gorgeous pictures on there. And if I'm not mistaken, they are for sale?
They are for sale. I have original pieces and limited edition prints, even note cards, which, by the way, a lot of people collect and frame. Uh-huh. They are reproduced in my original paintings. Mm-hmm. And there's even a little bit. I do have a sterling silver jewelry. There's just a few pieces in there that are actually quite popular. So I have a little bit of jewelry as well.
And then, of course, you have your books for sale on there. And
you have
your biography is, of course, on there and some limited photography. And the question I have to ask you now is that after your initial book, Go West, Young Woman, and your second book, Stay West, and then you felt compelled to write a third book. And it's pretty much following the first two. Why don't you kind of give our listeners a heads up as to what they can expect in book number three, which incidentally is 410 pages, and it's done by Hellgate Press, and it was released September 30th of 2020.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's just come out. It's only been out a few weeks. This third book, well, it's actually a trilogy. And so this is the third part and sort of the final part. Of course, I'm going to continue to keep writing about some of our experiences in lots of different ways. But as far as the homestead experience, I started out with the first book with the idea of, well, we're here. We think we know what we're doing, but we really don't. We're learning every day and, you know, laugh with our mistakes. And we're just trying to kind of find our way. And in the second book, we're a lot more savvy. We understand how to live on this mountain. We're getting a little more used to having wild animal encounters. We know, you know, how to handle the snow and We know how to plow the mountain, and there's a lot of things we've learned. But the third book is the idea that, you know, we're still here. We are still west of nowhere. I mean, we're very rural. There's not a lot of convenience. You kind of have to start, sort of wraps up the idea. The girls are now getting older. You know, my children were very young when we first moved here. They were 3 and 7. Now they're at the point where they're teenagers. They're having their own lives. They're learning how to drive. And my oldest daughter is practically on her own. So it kind of wraps up our whole experience. And I'm not going to spoil anything, but I think you'd be really, really pleased when you finish the series about how it ends.
And okay.
Does it end or doesn't it end? Or is there more to exactly what happens? So there's that's for everybody to kind of find out soon.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's like living in a. I think you kind of like are living a dream that a lot of people have. Is moving into the mountains and kind of getting away from everything. So it's kind of cool, actually. I don't know that at my advanced age I could do that anymore, but I mean, I certainly thought about it when I was younger. But, of course, then I never had the gumption or the wherewithal or the actually stomach for it or moving out in the mountains. I mean, you know, I like Safeway. I mean, what can I say? I don't like to butcher my meat. I can just go to the store and buy it. You know? But
it's not like we're completely off grid or anything. But
right.
you kind of had me back at the idea of being young, and I'm kind of glad you think I'm still young because I'm not young.
Well, and, you're a lot younger than I am, I'll tell you.
It does have a lot of challenges, and for example. Even though, like I said, we've been here now, for you're not used to, you're still not ready. The other day, we've started to have bear problems, both grizzly bear and black bear.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering if they're so busy because maybe we're in for a very difficult or harsh winter. I don't know, but they're foraging. And they normally don't come around the house too much. But the other day, I was just getting lunch ready and went to put my, plate down at the dining room table, and all of a sudden I saw my horse Wilson, and his head went up, and he began to prance and look very frightened, and he started to run in circles, and he was backing up, and I thought, oh no, this is, what's upsetting him? So I told Bill, my husband, no, I don't know, something's upsetting him. We better find out what's going on. And took one look out the window, and right there in the tree line was a bear. And so louder than my normal whispering voice I have. But all of a sudden, my teenage daughter just panicked at the idea of having to save her horse, and she comes running out the door with bare feet and in her socks and goes flinging out the door, and I'm trying to tell her to call back, and come back, and we're all deciding what's going on here, and the horse is jumping around, and I'm thinking, you're going to, you can't save your horse with bare hands and bare feet, honey. And I guess we just upset that poor bear so much that he said, I'm getting away from this circus. And he left.
you people are way too crazy for me. it's a scene that Charlie Chaplin would be proud of. Yeah, it's bare feet, not to be confused with bear.
Yeah.
Correct. Yes. She goes running out with no shoes, and there she is in her socks on the patio.
Oh my gosh!
That's just kind of the way of life around here.
Now, do you think that's because of the seasons are being elongated because of the climate warming, the planet warming up a little bit, and the seasons are lasting longer? The bears aren't hibernating as early.
That might be true somewhere else, but
because
are very long in Montana.
But the seasons may be lasting longer, but I don't think their food supply does. So now they're, because the plants die off, but it's staying light. There's not snow. It's not as cold. They don't go into hibernation. So they got to get food someplace. And I think your trash can probably is pretty welcome at that point.
Well, I have to tell you, one of the things that we learned very quickly, gratefully, without an experience, we're really buttoned up out here. We don't have any garbage.
Yeah,
we don't have anything that would attract. I remove the bird seed even because I don't want them trying to come up to the house for bird seed.
Sure.
If we grill or anything, we clean up really well and you know, clean up the grill and make sure that there's nothing there that they're interested in, or we take it back into the garage. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's necessarily food, but I do wonder sometimes if, you know, bears have a very large area to roam.
Yes.
And so I'm wondering if they do go up to other homes where they find something, that maybe they begin to equate the idea that, oh, if there's a home, there might be something here.
Uh-huh.
Even if they don't find something. But they do love to come into my front garden, and they tip over the big boulders, and they dig up under them for, oh, you know, little rodents or
grubs. Or whatever they get.
And sometimes I'll get up in the morning, and I'll find that my garden, which is right there off the front porch, has been all torn up. And the other day, yesterday, we found some grizzly bear tracks right at the edge of the patio. So that bear was probably maybe 10 feet from my back door.
Oh, wow. And
it can be a little nerve-wracking because you know that they're moving around out there at night. Gratefully, we haven't had any real serious incidents, but it keeps you on your toes. The photos that I post and a lot of what I talk about is the beauty of Montana, and that's very true. It's very, you know, idyllic and beautiful when you look out the window and you see the mountains or you see the snow or even the storm circles. But along with that, there's a real element of danger because it's very unforgiving out here.
Well, yeah, and then bears are extremely unforgiving. We're going to take a real quick break. Hang tough. Don't go away. We're going to take a real quick break. And you're listening to LA Talk Radio. This is The Writer's Block. I am Jim Christina on the phone with my co-host and good friend, Bobby Jean Bell. And we're talking to Montana writer Nancy Quinn. And we'll be back right after this word from LA Talk Radio. Welcome to Talk Radio. You're listening to LA Talk Radio's very own The Writer's Block. And I am your host, Jim Christina. And you know, in this time of COVID-19, when everybody is locked down and working from home, getting tired of that old terrestrial AM talk radio stuff and TV, how about this? How about you log on to LA Talk Radio? See, we've got some of the best talk, music, sports, self-help, and, you know, just about anything that your little heart desires right here at LA Talk Radio. So why go any further? Why not just sit back and listen to what our hosts and our shows have to tell you? So that's LA Talk Radio, and it's found at latalkradio.com, and listen to The Writer's Block every Thursday night, 6 p.m., right here on LA Talk Radio. And we are back. We are on the air with Nancy Quinn, a wonderful, wonderful wildlife, golly, I just want to say, what's the best way of putting your books? Humor, I guess. I don't know. Memoir, humorous memoirs, I guess. Okay. We'll stick that moniker on it. And just, if you don't like it, you can change it later. Anyway, if you want to call and talk to Nancy and you actually be wise to try, the number here in the studio is 323-203-0815. Again, that number, write it down, as Bobby used to say, get a pencil. 323-203-0815. And if you're like all antiquated and you don't have a cell phone, make sure you put a one in front of that. Okay. It is now 6:18, and we're back with Nancy Quinn. And remember, LA Talk Radio, Writer's Block, every Thursday, 6 p.m. Don't miss it. Okay. So, I would you call it a humorous memoir? What would you call it, Nancy?
I probably would. It's only a memoir in the idea that the stories are true, but they do cover just a certain, you know, section of time. It's not like a memoir where, oh, this is where I was born and this is what happened to me when I grew up. And it's not that style in the traditional sense. Mm-hmm. It more or less covers, you know, about a 13-year period there, and discusses these, you know, these true events. So I do put a lot of humor into the books. It's sort of, I suppose, if I had to try to compare them to something, I would say maybe if you're familiar with, or maybe the Green Acres TV show, kind of all mixed together.
Well,
I don't walk around with diamonds and a feather boa and stuff, but
oh, come on.
I know my tiara slips every now and then, but I do have still a lot of my ways from the city. And I think part of the fun of the stories is the way that I kind of have to blend, you know, my city life and country life together. But
sure.
It's really about family, you know, it's about family. And mm-hmm. I want the books to really inspire people and, you know, maybe if I write or say something that helps them, they'll get it, you know, right when they need it.
Right.
And,
well, I will say that, as we talked the other night, I mean, I got somewhat into your book, and I was honest. I said, I don't think I was going to be able to finish it. And I was not, but there is a section in the book right towards the front that has you baking. And mm-hmm. and I cannot bake without burning myself. I just can't do it. And yet there you are baking cookies, and neither can you, apparently, because
oh, she burns herself on the oven. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And egg yolk, egg white. Who knew that whipping up egg white would help resolve that horrible situation?
I think that's kind of like new skin when you put egg white on there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway,
I don't know how it works, but it works.
But it works.
Times in my life, yeah.
So go figure. I mean, here you are on the top of a mountain, and you know to whip up egg whites and put it on a burn.
Well, her husband knows. I mean, she just has to call to him, and he's like ready to go. To jump in here for a moment, this is the third book of the trilogy, and I have enjoyed them all. I found in this book, and I guess this goes to you as an author, having sort of gotten your writing style really kind of set and underway, and through the three books, did you find that you were writing book three coming to it a little bit differently than you did in book one? What I see in book three is a lot more personal. You share about looking in the mirror and seeing your dad's eyes. I felt like that we really got to see even more of Nancy, perhaps, in this book. And maybe that was there all along, and it just spoke to me in this particular book. And you were willing to share even more with your readers, who I assume have been following you mm-hmm. through these three books.
Yes, I think your assessment is very insightful, because I believe, you know, the first book was actually more about the events and our experiences and the things that were really happening, you know, to us. And that was sort of my first step into writing. Because you remember, I've been a wildlife artist now for...
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, I'm hoping my math is wrong, but gosh, it's got to be 5 years or something. But, you know, that's kind of been who I am. And when I decided to write, I know everyone looked at me with, you know, that polite look, they're going to get on this, and they say, but really, you're going to try to write a book? Well, you know, aren't you an artist? And, well, yeah, I am, but I just feel compelled that I have these things to do. So once the stories kind of got around and people started looking at them and got a little bit more on board, kind of gave me more confidence to finish the book. Well, the second one, I think, talked a little bit more about my feelings and things about what we were doing. And you're right, Bobby Jean, I think the third book really talked a little bit more about kind of how I feel about what we're doing
mm-hmm.
and my, you know, some of my concerns that I don't necessarily focus as much on the comedy, although there are a lot of comic elements in this book. But it does kind of wrap up these last years and the changes. Mm-hmm. You know, my girls aren't small anymore. I mentioned they're growing up, and things are changing, and you know, how I feel about that, and even how I feel about getting a little older. And so some of those things are in there because they're also a big part of our experience on where we are right now, you know, in our lives.
And I think as a reader, and as I said, I imagine a lot of your readers, they may have followed you all along, or they'll be so interested, they'll go back to book one or to book two. But we aged also over the 13 years or over the three books. We also have gone through things in our lives. And I found that some of the things that you were sharing felt so authentic to me because some of the same sort of thoughts that you have, especially towards the end of the book. And I don't want to say spoiler alert because it's not, this is not a murder mystery or anything where we have to give anything away, but I just felt you were very authentic. And I wondered, was that scary for you as a writer, or has it just kind of come along as you've become more and more confident?
Well, I'm always, this is going to sound very odd because I'm going to tell you I'm an incredibly private person, yet I write about my family in books that go all over the world. Mm-hmm. And I know that's going to sound really strange, but in some ways, some of the things that I shared were a little hard for me, and I really vacillated on whether or not I should put them in. It's easy for me to write about, but whether or not I wanted to put it out there was another story. But I got some encouragement, you know, from my family and even the publisher. He said, you know, these parts of you are important, and I think that it does help people that have the same kinds of feelings or experiences, and, you know, they don't feel so alone. And I hadn't really thought about it until you mentioned it, and then, unbelievably, today, I received the most wonderful phone call. I had a conversation with a woman who had been reading my books from the beginning, and she said, you know, if you think that maybe your messages aren't getting out there, or you're not inspiring people, or you're not comforting them or helping them, I think that you are. And she told me that, you know, she didn't really have much of a family and that she felt like she was part of mine.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's the best. That's why you share, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, yeah. You know,
it almost brought me to tears in a way. Because I'm really glad that what I want to do is to put something good out into the world and to comfort people. She said she read the books because she couldn't sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
She got alone. Feel alone.
Yeah, there's a big distinction between comedic writing and a humorist.
And humor. Mm-hmm.
Probably the best example of a humorist I can give you is Gene Shepard.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful, wonderful writer, actor, singer, composer, but a wonderful humorist. The man could write, could get you chuckling in his story, but his humor was there not so you could laugh out loud, but it included you in his life. Mm-hmm. And all of the things that happened in his life. And his best known story, of course, is A Christmas Story. And if your writing is much like Gene Shepard, and I used to read all the Gene Shepard stuff when I was younger. I say younger because yesterday I was younger. Tomorrow, today I will be younger. See where I'm going with this? Anyway, but your writing reminds me a lot of Gene Shepard in that he tells the story of himself and his family in a way that is lighthearted. He's telling the truth. He's telling the story exactly as it happened, but he sees the humor in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sharing that humor with your readers. And I love that. I absolutely love that. So I'm just stroking you a little bit right there. So we can actually go to the next commercial. If we're going to take another real quick break, and you're listening to LA Talk Radio, this is, of course, The Writer's Block. I am your host, Jim Christina, in the studio with Bobby Jean Bell and, of course, our guest tonight, Nancy Quinn. And we'll be right back with you in about 60 seconds after a small word from Out West.
Readers Wanted. Want tonight's featured titles, Still West of Nowhere? or the other two books in the trilogy by guest Nancy Quinn, Go West, Young Woman, and Stay West, Young Woman? Well, find these titles and all the books by the Writer's Block featured authors at outwestshop.com. It's simple. From the toolbar, choose books and CDs. And from the drop-down menu, click Shop Out West on bookshop.org. The Writer's Block book list features titles of our guests. Click a book cover for the link to our interview and to purchase. Explore all our book categories, new titles added daily. One-stop shopping supports Out West and independent booksellers when you purchase. Remember, it's always a great day at outwestshop.com.
And
we're back.
And it is indeed. And of course, that was Bobby Jean Bell doing her commercial live right here on LA Talk Radio. And Bobby, you have like clothing there too, yeah?
Oh, yes. We have blankets and rugs and clothing. 10 to 20% of all the retail purchases from that collection go to support a monthly designated nonprofit. This month,
oh, wow.
It's another horse therapy ranch. This is Heart of the Horse Therapy Ranch in Clovis, California, and they have been ringed by fire, and they just do wonderful, wonderful work. So they are our designated nonprofit this month. So, yeah, we have a lot of different things going on.
Excellent.
Shop.
Excellent. Excellent. So, but you no underwear, no. You don't carry underwear. No.
Oh, that's too bad. I had to think for a minute.
I was going to say I need to shop for some, but that's for a later conversation. Okay, we're back. It's 6:32, and of course we're on the air with Nancy Quinn. And again, the number here in the studio, if you want to call and talk to Nancy, is 323-203-0815. And again, 323-203-0815. So the question I have for you, Nancy, is now you got your trilogy done, what's next on your horizon?
Well,
Christmas Story's already been written. Can't do that one.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide. I'm not really sure, to be honest.
Okay.
I've got a few ideas that I've been thinking about, but I haven't had anything that has really, you know, really taken hold. I know a lot of people keep asking me to still write about what's going on with the family and with the horses and everything. And I probably will do a lot more of those kinds of stories, but maybe in a different type of series or somehow present it in a different way. But right now, I guess I have writer's block. I don't know.
Well, that's good you have that, because that was going to be the next question we were going to ask. Bobby Jean, take it away.
Well, since you brought that up, even in the books you've written so far, have you encountered writer's block? And if so, what has been your successful antidote to it?
Well, I'm going to have to be honest and tell you that I've never really experienced writer's block before. I probably, because the stories are so close to me and I understand them so well, they just sort of flow. And I sit down with a piece of paper and a pen. I know it sounds really old-fashioned, but I like to put all of my notes on paper. And I write the book on the computer, but when I'm trying to put together an outline, I like to just sit in my rocking chair with a cup of tea and think through how I want to present things. So because I'm so intimately familiar with the stories, I think they come very naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sort of put everything in order, and I write it a little bit in my mind before I sit down to write at the computer. And I basically already know what I'm going to say and how I'm going to present it. And I know sometimes it either baffles or irritates my husband, but he always says, "How can you remember me saying that? How can you remember how that?"
Right. Yeah. Because you do capture exactly a lot of dialogue. Yeah. We'll just take this most recent book as an example. Are there some stories that didn't remain in the volume? Did you just, you know, you, because you are capturing actual real personal experiences, did everything in the book up to not par, but you know, that didn't make it in?
Oh, sure. There's always, I really whittle down that outline and that list. And there's always things that I think, well, it might've been important to me, or I might've thought it was really fascinating, but it doesn't translate well into writing the story, or maybe it's not as interesting to other people. So yeah, I definitely cut out a lot of things, and I have to pick and choose in a loose chronology what's going to go into the book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, here's a question being a writer of pretty much true stories from your homestead, and you've written this, you've now finished your third book. It's just been published last month. Now this question may sound a little odd to me. You have a little bit of trepidation about possibly writing a fiction novel that you possibly will have writer's block on, because you're not going to know the story so intimately.
Mm-hmm. It's a good question, Jim.
I can pretty much guarantee that if I attempted fiction or some other, you know, type of writing, I would definitely have writer's block, I'm sure.
Okay.
And it would take, I would. It would take me a while to kind of sort of reach down and find a different way of expressing myself and find a new way of looking at things, because when you write fiction, you know, that's what you have to do. And
right.
You have to create the characters and you have to breathe life into them. So yeah, I imagine it would be a whole different way of writing the way now.
Oh, character development on its own is just it gets hard. It gets hard.
Well, it is, and it's a, you're right. It's a, you know, it's a talent on its own just to be able to do that kind of writing.
You know, one of the things that Jim, I'm just thinking of this because you're a fiction writer,
right?
And you really get the details correctly. And Nancy's skill, I'm just thinking that, you know, there was one chapter about the difference between hay bales and haystacking. Mm-hmm. I actually felt like I learned a whole lot of things in this book where you give us an awful lot of detail. And I think, you know, some of whether it's recipes or whatever, that's exactly what characters do in a fiction story too.
Sure.
It's like you have such a grasp of so many different things, you know, how to get through a blizzard, how to get through an earthquake, how to, where I think, oh, but you've got such a wide range of experiences that I think will find their ways into your characters.
Right.
Well, we wouldn't have to be inventing or learning all that, you know?
Well, right. Well, Bobby, I mean, we know how to get through earthquakes. I mean, we know, you know, grab onto something solid and make sure you don't forget the toilet paper, because you're going to need it.
Yeah. I had another, I wanted to make one other comment about Nancy for our listeners. She also was very active with creating wonderful videos. Yes. In your kitchen, cooking and recipes. And I know your book trailer for this, I think you worked with a drone. I mean, you are continuing to chart, you know, get into areas for yourself.
Well, I really like to keep learning. And I like to learn new things, which is in my books. I also have a lot of little tidbits and information and things about history and Montana history, and because I like to be entertaining and I like you to learn a little something and have fun doing it. When I decided to do this book trailer, it does feature the new book, but it also discusses the whole, or not discusses, but portrays the whole idea of the trilogy. And we have so much beautiful scenery that I really wanted to give you that feeling like you are in the big skies of Montana. So I have to give credit. My brother-in-law did help me learn how to pilot a drone. I didn't know how to do that. And he gave me some lessons, and it was a real steep learning curve, believe me. But
I bet.
I think we came up with breathtaking footage. And I think that the whole idea of what my books are about, the whole idea of family and nature and just, you know, the raw power of how mercurial Montana can be. And I think I fit all of it in there. There's some comical elements too, you know, with the horses and such. I think it just tells a beautiful story, but it would not have happened without that drone footage. It really made a difference, all that movement.
Well, drones do that. When we were talking the other night, you were mentioning that it was a day or two after this last book came out, that you were like in the top 100 for your your genre.
Yes.
The top 100 in books. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely amazing.
I was thrilled. Yes, I was so grateful, and it was so exciting, and it was a real surprise for me. But it stayed on that top 100 list from Amazon for 4 days.
Holy
man.
The
first 4 days that the book came out.
And you know, that's amazing. And it's like I told you the other night. I mean, you know, that's what happens when 5,000 of your best friends buy your book.
Well, and as of today, you're still in the top 500. And I think, you know, I think that's remarkable. Did you have any, what kinds of things did you do? Because I think our author friends would probably be real interested in this. Were there some things that you did to promote the book in advance of its release?
Well, I do have a following through social media.
Uh-huh.
And so I do Facebook, and I have a YouTube channel. And I think probably what sold the book ahead of time was perhaps the book trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I think that doing visual things and kind of showing people and bringing them into the experience, you know, kind of gives them a real idea of what they're buying. And mm-hmm. so I think it's probably just getting the word out in that way. I didn't do anything particularly special. I mean, as far as I didn't like place ads or, I think it just kind of had people were buying this book based on the reputation of the other two would be my guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, so I wish I could give you some real concrete. Really, I was just as thoroughly surprised and happy as you guys.
Well, I think it was back in August. I did join the Pulpwood Queens after we'd had Linda Murphy on, and I saw that you had joined. It was so cool that what they do when you join that group as an author is they acknowledge that that you're a new member. And I just think that's such an exciting organization, and I really hope that they'll get your attention, that they'll really check you out.
I hope so. I hope so too. I think that would be wonderful. It certainly looks like a great group. I mean, it looks really fun, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a question for you, Nancy, and mm-hmm. I have gotten such just different answers about this question from everybody I've asked it to. And when you're writing, I you almost have to write for your own edification when you're writing, because it is true to life. It is your family. And you have to be able to express and feel the humor in what you're writing. When you are writing, are you also writing for your audience, your readers, or are you writing more for your personal edification or your ego?
Well, I don't really think it's about ego.
Okay.
I think my real purpose when I write, and I kind of touched on it earlier, but I have the same kind of purpose I do with my art. So I think my art and my writing go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do it to show you, look what I can do, or look how beautiful mm-hmm. this is. Or
mm-hmm.
I do it because I want it to enhance someone's life in a better way.
That's an answer.
For example, Mm-hmm. Well, like with art, okay, when you look at a piece of art, I want it to either teach you something that you didn't know, like about an animal, or generate interest, or I want you to have it trigger a memory of something wonderful, or maybe a place you would like to go or something you'd like to see. You know, I want that connection. And I want the same thing with the books. When you read something, I want it to either A, take you out of your life for a while and just kind of entertain you, or B, you know, gee, I learned some really interesting things from this book, or C, gee, I didn't know someone else felt that way too, or, you know, I feel better now that I've read it because, like Bobby Jean was kind of mentioned, that someone else had this experience and I don't feel alone. So I want it to just make your life a little better in any way that I can. You know, there's a lot of darkness out there, and I just kind of like to push it back.
Oh, isn't that true?
Something nice.
Isn't that true? You know? We're going to have to take another real quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to LA Talk Radio. This is the Writer's Block, and we'll be back in just a moment with our guest tonight, Aunt Nancy Quinn, right after this word from Creative Edge. When Creative Edge was founded in 2016, they immediately showed they weren't going to be the same as other publicity firms. No, sir. You see, the folks at Creative Edge, they work closely with their individual clients, their needs, and their goals, pushing them harder and to get them noticed and get them booked. They believe communication is an important part of the partnership, and that model is exactly how they have built their success. They work on the, I can do that better, and they have indeed done just that. Media outlets and organizations to meet their clients' goals and needs. So Creative Edge, it's your brand, it's your future. Mickey Mickelson, publicist, and you can find them at creative-edge.services.
And we are back. It is now 6:47. And in a few minutes, we got late. And Nancy, this show has just flown by. It has gone so fast.
How fast it's gone
I know. And that happens with great guests, I have to tell you. So consider yourself a great guest.
Well, now I'm blushing.
Well, you know, we consider you a great guest. You can consider yourself a great guest. So at any rate, so you are going to be hopefully working on a new book. Art is always there. What do you read when you read for recreation, or do you have time?
Well, honestly, I wish I had more time to read. I really don't have a lot of time to read between trying to work with my art and doing these books. And of course there's, you know, my girls, and we still homeschool my youngest. So there's not a lot of time left in the day, but I do enjoy a good mystery. I enjoy, actually World War II history, books about history.
Oh, me too.
And yeah, I really do like that. And so usually nonfiction is pretty much what I read. I also like here and there pick up some books about decorating or baking or things like that. Mm-hmm. But on the whole, I wish I had more time to put my feet up.
Yeah. It seems to be a malady, you know, these days. I mean, especially now. I mean, you've been up the mountains for 13 years, but some of us have been stuck at home now for like, months, you know, months and months and months. Uh-huh. And, you know, putting your feet up is no longer a luxury. It's just something you do, you know? So anyway, again, if you wouldn't mind giving out your email address, your website, and Facebook or whatever you want to share with our audience.
Sure. I'd be happy to. My website is QuinnWildlifeArt.com.
Okay.
And it's sort of the hub. It has links to the YouTube channel, which is High Mountain Homesteading, Nancy Quinn. And I am on Facebook, so I invite people to look me up there. I have a wonderful group that I run on Facebook called Creative Country Lifestyles.
Okay.
And so people can feel welcome to join that. I keep everybody pretty well updated on things through some of the places that I can be found. And of course the books are online and in bookstores, or if you want to order them from me, I'm doing something kind of interesting right now since all the book events had been canceled. due to the COVID, but if someone wants to purchase a book from me, I can set up a, like through Zoom or through, you know, a live chat, where I can talk a few minutes while I sign the book for them. So if someone is interested in that, they can contact me through my website.
Okay.
That's very creative.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thanks for giving up your time with us tonight. And it's been lovely having you back. And it's just often awesome having you here.
Well, thanks. I have enjoyed every minute of it. And I'm much obliged to you both. It's been a lot of fun.
Well,
and hopefully we'll be able to do it again sometime.
Well, let's do it again next year. And until then, thank you again for joining us. And please consider joining us again next year. Nancy Quinn, everyone.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Oh, nice show. Next week, we have writer Savannah Hendricks joining us. She is she's written some pretty cute stuff. To Work Out or to Wed. I Adopted My Mom at the Bus Station. Noni Yo-Yo. The Book Who Lost Its Title. I mean, the woman is just prolific. So she'll be joining us next week, Bobby Jean and myself. And until then, Bobby Jean, great show tonight. Loved having you here with me. She is such a great guest, don't you think?
Oh, you know, I've enjoyed all the books. I really have. But this, this one just really spoke to me on a whole bunch of different levels. So, you know, fun. We go from genre to genre. We're never like bored, you know?
Right. Until we get into like romance novels week after week after week.
Yeah,
and then
but
it gets
that's
a little
okay.
old.
Yeah, but that's okay. That's okay. They all just kind of came in a little bit of a lump, but
that's
okay.
Well, that's true. You know, and then we had science fiction for a while.
Yeah, that's okay.
And now we're into true life. So that's good. Especially if Savannah actually did adopt her mother from a bus station. I guess we're going to have to find that out. Okay, so until next week, from Bob Jean Bell, Russ Evison, myself, Jim Christina, for Ronan Rosner and Sam Hassan at LA Talk Radio, we are out of here.